Lovely. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Friday the 20th of May. We have Sintra Suknanan, Rafik Damak, Carlos Aguirre, Alex Gakuru, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Carlton Samuels, John Rahman Khan, Olivier Crépin Leblanc, Evan Leibovich. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies noted today from Alain Béranger and Dev Anantiluxing, and we are shortly expecting Eric Connor Williams and Alan Greenberg on the call. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton and Rafik.
Thank you, Gisela. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, everybody. Welcome, and thanks for showing up at this call. We have the agenda draft here. If you are on the Adobe room, you will see them to the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. I thought we would look at the answers to the questions that would be compiled by the staff. These are questions that were generated largely from the registrar group of the GNSO. They were posted online, and we resolved to have the questions compiled because some of them are repetitive, and we put the answers together. Some of the answers will be repetitive, and some, to my mind, just require a stock answer. So we'll wait for that. Staff could put that up in the window for the next little bit. We want to spend no more than 20 minutes on that. And then there was a question of what do we do now? As you know, the work group had several questions, issues that we would attempt to address, and we've actually only addressed two of them. They're the main ones, of course, but there are others that are, I think some of them are of quite important because they support the two that we have answered, which is to say we've answered or put together a response for criteria of for applicant support, and we've a baseline mechanism to determine who gets support. There were several other issues that we need to go for. It is from conversations and a couple of emails, there were some discussions in the community as to whether or not it would be useful to continue until we had some kind of indicative response from the board. While it might be useful to get an indicative response from the board, my own view is that we have a charter. The charter provides guidance. We are a work group that was raised by the charter, so we continue to follow the charter. That's my own view. We can spend a couple of minutes discussing the two views.
Okay. Yes? I'm not yet in the Adobe Connect room, so I can't see what version of the draft responses is being put up. But may I suggest that we use the last version that I had compiled, because I kind of reshifted a lot of the responses and that sort of thing. So I don't know if that might be a better starting point rather than going back.
I would have to see what the staff has done first.
Okay, no problem.
Before we take that decision, Sintra.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
And the final thing is we want to look at the outstanding elements from the terms of reference. We want to spend 20 minutes on that. And finally, to talk about the form and format for the Singapore event as proposed. So those are the elements for this time period. I wonder if we could hear from everybody whether or not they think it's useful to go. Any objections? I see Rafik up. Rafik?
For questions, we have those questions from Wolf or Rich from the ISPC constituency, and he asked about that again in the council yesterday, so we need to reply to them.
Yes, were these questions provided to the staff, Rafiq, because they were helping us to consolidate all the questions one place, so we see the ones that are just plain repetitive. That's the whole idea of having them consolidated. Can you say?
I forwarded all the questions to the GIS working group, so I think even Eric replied to one of them from from Wolf for Rich, so it's possible to compile them.
Okay, so that they would have them in this list. All right, good enough. Eric, you have a question. See your hand up.
Thank you. Eric Renner-Williams for the record. I'm actually responding to your open question of whether or not we should pause and wait for a indicative response from the board or continue. My preference is that we continue, as we do have a charter, and we need not wait for an indication from the board what their current thinking. Thank you.
Okay, Eric, we're not at that stage yet, but we can get back to it. We note your response to that. We're just trying to deal with the agreeing to the agenda, so we get that. Now we want to deal with the report, the consolidated questions, to ensure that we all agree with the answers that will be provided. The Register constituency, the questions are in the Adobe Connect room.
The notes. This is Carla speaking. They are posted in the notes. This is the latest version.
Yes. They are posted in the notes, and I'm asking the question of the members. Is there anything there that you see, especially the 3.2 question? Is there anything there that you think requires?
Carlson, this is Eric Renner-Williams.
Yes, Eric.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that the proposal for a scheduling the application fee into several payments, which Elaine was kind enough to remind us about. That proposal, or the proposed amounts and the times, reflects a application fee for which no reduction has been made. And I would like to see if we can't make these numbers less tied to the general application fee, and make them, oh, I don't know, I suppose percentages of whatever the board ultimately decides is the fee for applicants in need. And thank you.
Can I ask a question about that, Eric? If I were to interpret what you say, does that mean that we are saying that we should take the general application fee and the numbers that we provide should be a fixed percentage of those fees? Is that what you are suggesting?
I'm not certain myself, Carlton. I'm not unhappy with the idea that the applicant has to submit some kind of a fee just to use the application input method. All the applicants are supposed to pay $5,000. Or 500, I'm not sure what the number is, in order
5,000.
In order to have the ability to input your application electronically, since again, it's just doing electronic submission at this point. The question is not so much the $5,000 fee initially, although actually that's fairly arbitrary, but the amounts at the checkpoints that are proposed.
Yes.
ICANN staff has created a series of checkpoints for their refund schedule. That is, they're addressing the problem backwards. They're starting off the general applicant with a 185 and then decrementing that for each point at which the applicant exits the system unsuccessfully. And, of course, that's from a full fee presumption with 100% paid at the time of filing. We're struggling with some idea of deferring the payments. Either one possible choice is to defer them along a quarterly basis independent of the application stages that ICANN staff has created for refunds. Another possibility, the one which is close to what I understand Elaine's reminder is to correlate the amount paid or the payments with, not the amounts, but payments at fixed points on the evaluation process schedule with the full payment or some percentage of the full payment being made at the completion of the evaluation schedule. These are two different approaches to how time and money exist for the applicant. In the first model, the application fee may be paid over, let us presume, 8 quarters rather than 3 quarters, which is what the application evaluation process is projected to be. In the second proposal, the one that Elaine reminds us of, whatever the amount is, its payment schedule is made over a three-quarter period corresponding to what the ICANN staff estimates the evaluation period will be. So these are just two different ways of approaching time and money, and I'm not sure we want to pick one yet or pick percentages yet, but in responding to the question of how payment is deferred, I'm not sure that we should pick one initially before we even consider the other. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eric. I'm going to bring Evan in here because what I'm trying to understand is what we should say to that. We put up a straw man 45,000 figure, and they asked a question about how did we arrive at that, and that's what I would wish to answer. But, Evan, you have a comment, sir.
Muted, Evan?
Evan?
Oh, that would help if I took myself off mute.
Yes.
Small details. Yes. So I wanted to first off answer the issue raised by Eric and then maybe try and attack the issue you raised, Carlton. I put on the bottom of the Adobe room that we could just put in wording that for now says that we want to implement the concept of a phased installment plan. The specific amounts of those installments are to be determined once we find out ultimately what the final price is that a supported applicant is expected to pay. So I think we can be safe in trying to calculate things based on a yardstick of what they are existing, while at the same time trying to push for a reduced total fee and saying that the staggered fees will be adjusted down based on the final amount. So I think we can be sufficient in our wording, basically being vague like that, because we don't, we're still working on trying to lower the final price. Until we do that, we can't know exactly how the staggered payments are going to look.
Yeah. Okay. So just before you move on there, Evan, if we take Eric, we are going to be agnostic about the method, except to say we would support stage payments and reduction in the payments at every stage. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. And that we don't know the exact amounts at the stages until we have a better determination of what the final amount is going to be.
Okay, good. So that could be the philosophical basis for the fee reduction. But in answering this question now for the 45,000, how would you suggest that we go about that?
There's the politic answer and there's the impolitic answer. InPolitik answer is this is our best guess based on the fact that we've had very, very little support in helping to break down what the existing fees are about.
Good. Politik answer.
So, I mean, to a certain extent, we have to be, if we're being honest with ourselves, this is our best guess. At the same time, we're trying to get, personally, what I'd like to do is try to have some wording in there in saying that we probably have a difference of opinion even on the basis of the concept of cost recovery, as the GNSO had insisted, that when we think about cost recovery, we think about it as recovering the current real-time costs of what it of what the expense incurred is of processing an application. We're trying to separate this out from all of the historical baggage that ICANN is trying to roll in and amortize in as part of cost recovery.
All right.
When we think cost recovery, we're saying, okay, it costs ICANN this amount of money to process the application, to put in the mechanisms in place to make it live, and so on, and that needs to be recovered. Fine. What so far has been interpreted within ICANN as cost recovery takes that and adds into that all of the historical policy development fees that I don't believe should be part of the cost recovery calculation.
Okay. Is anybody, Cintra? And then Alan.
Thank you, Carlton. I posted my rewrite of this response, but in light of what Evan has said, it would need to be adjusted to suit. May I just say as well that staggered fees come up in a latter question to 4.1.2. So I don't know if it's more appropriate speaking about it there in detail rather than at this point in time, or if we prefer to merge those two questions. Thank you.
Okay, Alan.
Thank you. The registry question is phrased as if there is a right and wrong answer to what is the correct amount.
That's the point. Thank you very much. That's what I'm trying to get at.
And that's just not so. We have come up with a number which we feel is reasonable from a point of view of the various competing factors. There is no right or wrong, and we welcome suggestions as to why it should be changed to something else. But it was a balancing act to try to come up with a number that met various criteria. And we've talked about what those criteria are, but let's not treat it as a right or wrong answer. It isn't. It's just a number that we came up with that we put our finger in the air and try to feel which way the wind is blowing and say this one seems to make some sense.
Thank you, Alan. So I would tell you the InPolitik answer that Evan mentioned would have been my choice for the answer, and you've just given the basis for it. But before we decide, let's go to Eric.
Thank you. I appreciate what the past several speakers have said, Evan, Alan, and yourself, Carl, and Cintra. When you ask the philosophical question, my thoughts are that given the scrutiny that the applicants are subject to and the reduction of risk that arises from that, that is the winnowing out of the random speculators and so forth, which ICANN cannot or will not eliminate from its general model of the applicant pool, we really arrive at something in 2011 or 12 that looks very much like the application process in 2004 and 2001. That is, there were applications, and ICANN selected them, some number, which was less than the total for its own reasons, which seemed fairly good at the time. And the price for accomplishing that was $45,000, plus or minus $5,000, depending upon which point in time you take, the 2001 or the 2004 round. So if it was a price that worked then for a process that really is similar to what we think the evaluation of the JAS qualified applicants must go through, which is a more rigorous evaluation than ICANN is proposing to conduct itself for the general applicants who are not seeking support, then the price is, for politic as well as impolitic reasons, probably correct. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I get the sense, and the impolitic answer is, here's what we think. We made a stab of it. We made a stab based on historical evidence. We don't know what it's going to be because fee structure and fee size is still in state of flux. I mean, I'm paraphrasing Evan's impolitic answer. Would the group be comfortable in just rewriting that answer to just say that? Question. I see Cheryl typing. I just want to see what Cheryl is saying. Would the group be willing to go along with that answer?
Carlton, this is Andrew. Could you just repeat the answer that you're proposing? I'm sorry, I'm a little turned around with all the different things that we're saying.
And Cheryl just came up with it. I am proposing we modify the redraft answer in the chat, in the notes space of the Adobe Connect, along the lines of the impolitic answer that Evan suggested, which is and Alan so succinctly addressed, which is to say, the number we came up with was speculative, but it was speculative based on history. We don't know what it is. We took a stab at it. However, we believe that it is reasonable, and even as we accept that the fee structure and the size of the fee structure is changing. That's the first part. And then we say, in principle, though, we support a staggered payment scheme, whatever the fee structure turns out to be. Would that be reasonable? And that's what I'm asking the group to say. Eric is up.
Oh, I'm just indicating yes, I agree.
Thank you, Eric. Alan?
I think we're mixing two different things, and I think there's no need to mix them. The staggered fee structure is something that we strongly support. It reduces the cash flow issues, and other than there is a significant issue of what does ICANN do if you don't make the payment? Do you just drop out altogether? Do you disappear? Do you get deferred? How does ICANN handle that? There's no real cost to ICANN to doing it. The fee reduction or fee subsidies or anything else is a separate issue. I don't think we should commingle them.
I could go along with that, Alan. I don't think there's anything. I was simply making the case to say that that those are two principles that we agreed on. So that's fine. So I take it everybody has agreed we'll change it to do the text to reference what we just agreed. Okay.
Carlton, this is Evan. Sorry I stepped away from my Adobe Connect, so I couldn't raise my hand. But
yeah.
I would just make sure that we keep a line in there saying that we still agree with the concept of cost recovery, but don't believe that cost recovery needs to reflect previous policy expenses, and should, in fact, reflect real-time costs to process applications.
Maybe we could put that in. That seems to me to be gold-plating the principle, but that's okay. Alan, did you have something to say, sir? Alan?
Sorry, I forgot to put the hand down.
Okay, so it's Cheryl.
Am I unmuted?
No, you're on now.
Oh, thank you very much, Cheryl Lingdon, for the record. I hear what you're saying, Evan, and I certainly have no problem in principle, and certainly would like to see that in the next milestone and perhaps final report of the JIS work group as we expand this. But all we need to do now is answer these, might I suggest,
set us up for a fall and try and run us through a few gauntletly designed questions. You know, how do we come up with a number? Well, we pulled it out of thin air, but we thought about it before we did, and yes, we do think it demonstrates viability based on experiences back in 2001-2004. I think that's the approach. We should not herniate over what is someone pulling our choker chain here.
Okay, I just thought that something like cost recovery was a hot word, you know, a hot button for them, that if we didn't at least indicate that we had an eye on it, that we would be a target.
Okay, I think we'll just close it and go with what we've had there. Carla has her hand up. Carla, did you have a question?
So. If you could be so kind as to, you know, tell me what is the final text on this.
Okay. The final one, I would say, is what Cheryl just articulated. We just simply say, yes, we put the 45,000. We believe it's reasonable. It is based on a history of 2001-2004 rounds, and you know, if and when there's better information available, then we might see adjustments in that figure. Cheryl, it would be nice if you just put what you said in the chat, and then Carla would just copy it from the chat. Would you do that for me, please?
That would be very nice, Cheryl. Thank you.
Okay. While we wait for that to come up, is there any, if you look at the others, we need to move on, folks. Is there any other thing that jumps out from the responses that anybody have a problem with? Looking at the other responses. Is there anything? All right. There's no question. So what we will do is that we will make the emendations that is suggested from this chat, and we will send off the response to the groups. We will post the response to them. We'll post it on the list, and that will take care of that. Can we move now to the next item on the agenda? And the preface of it is that we have the report in. We are waiting for some kind of response feedback from the board. It was felt that we should await the board response to give us guidance as to what we do next. That was one suggestion. The other suggestion is, no, we don't need to wait. And then we have a charter. We have terms of reference to that charter. We continue to work on the terms of reference to that charter. And I'm asking the group, what is their sense of how we proceed in that question? Eric is up.
I'm sorry, Carlton, for again being out of sequence. I was reviewing the text here, and I've noticed the V6 issue appears to be commingled the answer is given after a passage on a question on the continuity instrument. So whoever is rewriting this, the response about the deference of the V6 requirement should go with the question. Financial instrument obligation answer should go with the question also. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Eric. This is Carla. Could you please tell me the question again?
The question is the reduction of the financial continued operation instrument obligation that is the one he's saying that the sixth question should be commingled with this answer.
But it should not be. It currently
it should not be. Yeah, it should not be.
So, Carla, I'm looking at the registry question. Could this put registry at a competitive disadvantage compared with
registry support at EV6?
And then it says in the next line, further reductions recommended. And then it continues on for a one-line discussion of the continuity instrument. And then it begins the answer to the V6 question that, in our opinion, it does not create a competitive disadvantage. And then there's some further discussion, I don't know where this came from, about
IPv4.
Right, which makes reference to something that's currently ongoing in the Aaron list.
Yes. Well, I would agree with you, Eric, that maybe we want to not commingle that IPv6 answer.
Well, that and the continuity instrument are two different questions, so they should be answered separately. That was the only point I was trying to make. Thank you.
Andrew.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, Carlton, I was trying to refer back to the question that the last question that you asked, if I remember, which was about what do we do next, right?
Yes.
And I think that's a good question. I'm wondering whether we have enough feedback if I'm understanding correctly, we have effectively three different constituencies now in play, right? We have our two chartering organizations, and we may or may not get some feedback from the board. And do we think... Let's break it up into pieces. Do we think we have the enough feedback from the chartering organizations? If not, maybe we give that a little bit more time. Based on the structure that we're working under, I think that that has to be our kind of first rule. And then the second question is, have we received anything back from from the board or anybody else and that we need to take into consideration? Not having a clear sense of that, maybe other people have a clearer sense. I'd want to answer those questions first before that'll help us make our determination, don't you think?
That's one way to look at it, Andrew. That's why we posed the question here. I thought it was reasonable to pose the question. People have a different view, of course. And Alan, can you come on, sir?
I can try. I've already said in writing what I, or maybe not in writing somewhere, that I believe we need answers from the board. I'm not convinced we're going to get anything definitive other than one-on-one discussions, perhaps in Singapore. The board may come back with something formal, but I doubt it. So I don't think we can wait for that because it may not happen. I think we're going to, if we're lucky, get some feelings from individual board members. We already have in some cases. Mike Silber has, who's not speaking on behalf of the board, but has said a number of things in emails that give us some strong indication of which way he thinks we should go. We may get that from other people. I think we need to keep on working on the charter items, which is what the job we've been given, and factor in any input that we get to the extent that it's relevant and we can use it as we go along. Understanding that if we get some specific input, we may want to go back and revise something we thought we finished. But I don't see any other way of proceeding.
Thank you, Alan. Evan, you're up.
Okay, couple of things. First of all, there's one other constituency that wasn't mentioned that has, number one, specifically said that it is watching us, number two, is talking about us as we speak, and that is the GAC. I believe there is reason to believe, based on conversations that have been had both with the XCOM and through other channels, that the GAC is... not only very closely monitoring what we're doing, but is possibly to be very supportive of what we're doing. And also, isn't the board meeting in Turkey this week? Is it this week or next week?
Yes, it is this week. It starts actually today.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time that we have to wait to find out if there's anything specifically coming out of the Istanbul meeting that affects what we're doing. So in terms of do we have to wait, well, even if we do, we're not going to have to wait very long to see if there's any official comment. So, you know, we can say, yes, we want to wait and see what they say, knowing that we're not going to have to wait that long. But I would also keep one ear and eye open to having a good relationship with the position of the GAC, which could ultimately turn out to be one of our best sources of support as we move this forward.
All right. Thank you. That was Evan. Cheryl, you're up, man.
Thank you. And I'm also wanting to type to Sebastian because he's in chat and not on the call. So I'll just finish my asking him for any feedback on that. What I wanted to respond to was with my chartering organisation member hat on, and that was to say to the work group, and Olivier may want to jump in here as well, is that from the ALAC perspective, in terms of the points you've covered in, we've covered in the second milestone report, you've got endorsement from the ALAC. That's feedback that we're certainly not dissatisfied. We're certainly not sending it back and saying we need different or the following questions responded to. So on the work done and presented in the second milestone report, you've got feedback from one of your COs. What we certainly would like to see, however, is the rest of the charter purposes being looked at now. We would also like to think that there will be sufficient navigability and flexibility in what the work group is able to do, and if not, then as a CO we'd like to make sure that it is offered to the work group to be able to negotiate and respond to any particular feedback that comes from the other primary interest stakeholder groups. And at this stage, that would appear to be, other than the chartering organisations, the GAC and the board. Have I missed anything, Olivier?
Thank you, Cheryl. No, you very eloquently said what needed to be said, so I'm not going to waste any more time and pass the microphone back to Carlton. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia and Cheryl. I was hoping that you would have chimed in and said that. I know we discussed it in our XCOM conference, so I knew where our headspace was on that. Alan, are you up again, or is this from the old time?
No, I'm multitasking here, and I keep on forgetting to put things down.
No, not to worry. All right. Evan, you up again, or is this from the old time?
Same as Alan.
Okay. All right. So we have the view of the ALAC, and it just happens to coincide with my personal views. I'm not suggesting that we have to use it, but it is for the group to decide. Essentially, we are saying that we have a task. The task is outlined. We are partially there. We continue. We move on. We move on with the knowledge that a response from the chartering organization or from the board may create a need to shift focus. That said, it should not stop us from continuing the work. That's one view. And the other view is that we should wait until we have had feedback from the other two important organization, which is the chartering organization, which is the GNSO and the board, before we even contemplate doing anything else. Those are the two views. I will tell you straight up that the first view is the one that I hew to, and members might come in and say, Evan, your hand is up again?
No, sorry, it never went down. I'm not by my screen at this moment, so if somebody could drop it, that would be great.
Okay.
I don't know if I can drop it on you.
No, only Gisela or Carla.
Okay.
I have control.
Olivier, you want to come in on this, sir?
Yes, thank you, Carlton. I was just going to say that there have been a couple of things on the chat which have been sent from various people mentioning a possible meeting cross-constituency meeting in Singapore. I gather, is this on the cards?
Yeah, this is the next element we're going to talk about. We have that element on the agenda, Olivier.
Okay, but so it appears that there is support from that for a lot of people. So, thank you.
That's what we're seeing here, especially from Sebastian's input in the chat. Andrew, can we come back to you, sir?
Yes, quick question for you, Carlton. In principle, don't disagree with the position that you have staked out. However, from a practical perspective, if we continue to work, are we not presenting to all of the different constituencies a bit of a moving target? That's the only concern that I would have is that the proposal that is being considered by one, if it's still in motion, it may be something else completely that's being seen by another group, and that may make it more complex, not less, for us. You have a good suggestion about how we address that?
I would agree with you, Andrew, that is a risk. I am taking the position, though, and this is just me now, I'm speaking just as one member of this group.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
That it is a manageable risk at this stage. I don't know how others feel about it. But
my concern is only this, Chief, is that if we respond to one group, right? Let's say we put out everything, then we get comments, we start responding to each of them individually. I just want to make sure we don't create confusion amongst the other audiences as we're trying to respond to each of them in turn, and that we give ourselves a doable task in the sense of having, you know, one different round. What is effectively one set of changes as opposed to three or four different sets of changes. Make sense?
So somebody fell off.
Carlton, it was more a practical question than anything.
May I respond to Andrew?
Yes, of course, Cheryl, please.
Thank you. Andrew, I hear very clearly the risks you're outlining, but I'm not sure that we'd be offering them up different alternatives. At the moment, everybody has a second milestone report. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's no risks there. We have also a couple of questions which need to be responded to from a sub-constituency of one of the COs. That needs
right.
to be done. We also have topics in our charter that have not as yet been addressed. We can safely get onto those pieces of work which are supportive of and how do we do what we've suggested in the second milestone report. They'd still be in the formulative phase when we interacted with these other interested parties. So I see that as less risk and more advantage.
And if that's the way you have it in your head and the way we proceed, that makes perfect sense to me. My only concern was is that in the efforts to respond to some of the questions that we're getting, for example, from Jeff, that we don't want to create confusion amongst the other audiences who are okay. just getting to our review. That's all.
Which is why my response to those questions is keep it simple, short, sweet, dismiss.
Fair enough. Makes sense.
Okay. So I think Evan, well, I think Evan is this from the last time still.
No,
this one is genuine.
Oh, it's dead. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay, I just want to bring to the working group's attention a call that was made earlier this week between the executive committee of ALAC and representatives from the GAC. There is an action item coming out of that the GAC wants to have some meetings between its subject leads on the jazz-related issues as well as members from this working group. So that indicates two things. Number one, that we have very active interest from the GAC that wants to have deeper involvement in what we're doing rather than just observation and occasional commentaries that it tosses over the wall. At the same time, it also means that we need to designate a couple of people that should be available for this group should it happen.
Okay. That's good. Cheryl made a suggestion about this meeting. There's two issues, and probably we can segue to the next one because of that. The proposal is that we have a meeting in Singapore. We had proposed, and it's being scheduled, put on the schedule, an open meeting of the Jazz Working Group in Singapore. Sebastian has proposed that there is some discussion prior to Singapore with concerned parties from the board and from the GAC to iron out and kind of tie down the form and feature of the meeting. Cheryl sensibly suggested that we could have the meeting at one of the as a drop-in and one of our jazz calls, which makes perfectly good sense to me. Might I suggest that we seek to schedule this drop-in on next Tuesday?
I don't think we can control that.
Well, suggest, not control, but certainly suggest. Would that be useful?
I think Sebastian is not on the call, but he's in the chat. Clearly, there's a lot of moving. Sorry, this is Cheryl for the record. There's a lot of moving targets going on at the moment, and we appear to be in a position where something advantageous might be able to be organised. Organising anything between now and a Singapore meeting is going to be pretty tricky, but we have two meetings a week. They're clearly defined windows that whoever is working on organising such a call knows they can plug into. And I think that would be the way to go for it between now and next week anyway. Let's see what can happen. Let Sebastian know that the Jazz Work Group would welcome such an interaction. As it is, he has said he will start to liaise between you two co-chairs, Katim from the board, the GAC rep, and I said, don't forget the two chairs of the chartering organisations. So that's the group who needs to negotiate the timing, and there's times that should be fairly easy to plug into. Time for the Singapore meeting yet?
Carla, can you answer the question?
And it
I'm sorry, I was working on the text to send to all of you. I only heard, do we have the time for the Singapore? So what do you mean by that, Cheryl? Do you mean a time for us to have a public meeting or a time for us to meet like we did in San Francisco?
Well, the first is the one I was concerned about.
Yes.
Public meeting.
No, I don't have anything booked yet for this group to have a public session, which we can do.
When was the cutoff, or is the cutoff for those sorts of booking?
The cutoff for making a schedule?
Yeah.
The cutoff for making a schedule was last week.
That's what I thought. So is there a snowball's chance in hell of us getting a public meeting in Singapore?
I wouldn't say so. I asked last week if the group wanted to have a meeting. I didn't have any reply. I can go back to the meetings team and ask them for a slot. I believe we need, 1 hour?
Yes, actually we did. I replied, and Rafik did reply. He said, yes, we prefer a public meeting.
Well, wherever the meeting is, if it's an hour, that's fantastic.
Yes, we said an hour.
But if we are going to involve, and it would appear that involvement is desirable from at least representatives of the board and the GAC, then there are days that will and days that won't work for this, which is why I was asking the question, did we have a time already booked? We don't. So if we are now going to try and organise such a time, we need to coordinate it with the staff who are also organising the schedules for board and GAC. So I guess, Gisela, that's you and Glenn and Carla have to work that out with the others, if such a thing is even possible. Thank you, Carlton.
Thanks, Cheryl. Olivia, you have a hand up.
Thanks very much, Carlton. I was just going to comment on the fact that, yes, I remember being carbon copied on your reply, so we did ask for a... or you did ask for a room, and I hope that we get it, or that you get it, or that we all collectively get it. One question I did have with regards to a call in the interim before Singapore, a call that would be the JAS, the GAC, and I guess some members of the board, is whether this is actually allowed by the charter. If I recall correctly, our charter says that it will correspond with the board and with the with the board and the GAC, I guess, through its respective organizations, chartering organizations. So, does anyone have an answer for that?
Thank you, Olivia, for bringing it up. Cheryl?
That's why I said to Sebastian in chat, include the chairs of the chartering organizations.
Yes.
They have to actually, technically, run the meeting.
Rafik has raised his hand. I don't see him on the thing, but I see
Alan
Rafik.
Has also.
And Alan. So can we have Alan, then Rafik, please?
Yes. I'll remind Olivier, he sent a rather strong letter to the board saying don't talk directly to the work group, talk to the chartering organizations. So the answer is, yes, we can have a meeting with the GAC or with the board. They have to say we're interested through the chairs of the chartering organizations. And Olivier is empowered to then pass that on to the working group. Or the ALAC is empowered, and the ALAC can give Olivier the right.
Yes, I think you're right about the process there, Alan. That's what I recall. Rafik.
Yes, I do agree with Olivier and Alan. We need to discuss with our respective chair from ALAC and the GNSO. And so maybe to make things more quick, to start that discussion by sending email to Sebastian and also to Stefan, and Olivier is here, so he will be in that email too. So, and we can check how we can proceed. I'm not sure how will be the reaction from the GNSO Council, but regarding what's happened before in other contexts, it can be quite polemic, but maybe we can find a workaround or a solution. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Rafik, now that you said it, would you undertake to send the email as the co-chair for the Jazz Group to those parties and outline what we think here?
Okay, I will work on that and we'll consider it before.
Sorry, it's Alan. I'm not near my computer right now, but if I could get in.
Yes, Alan, please.
Yeah. I don't think they should come from the co-chairs.
No,
I think they should come from the chair of the ALAC telling the chair of the GNSO he's doing it. And we're not expecting it to be joint at this point. If it is, so be it. That would be nice, but it's not likely to be. And the chair of the ALAC is requesting it, and presumably the chair will be empowered to do that formally next Tuesday. You know, we'll get it ratified, but
presumably the chair has the right to do that and then get it ratified by the ALAC after the fact next Tuesday. But it should come from the chair of the ALAC to the working group and to the board or whoever it wants.
Okay. I could go along with that clarification from Alan. So it means that we ask Olivier. Cheryl, you're up.
Just very briefly, I think Olivier, if I may encourage the following. We have the chat history here with a board member's interaction with us and a desire to take a next step, organising perhaps a pre-Singapore interchange with the work group and indeed a Singapore public interchange on the topic. If you were to contact Sebastian and establish clearly in email copied to the chair of the GNSO what has been said at this meeting to clarify what exactly are the intentions and to put some first steps together and just do a CC to the work group chairs, I think that would have all our political bases covered and our pathways and communications properly attended to.
All right, good. Carla just put in the chat, she made a request for a session in Singapore and wanted to know if there are any conflicts that we pursue other than not being allowed with a board GNSO session, any preference for day and time. Cheryl, as the one who's most familiar with these kinds of issues, would you care to answer that for me, please?
I'd be happy to, Cheryl, for the record, painfully so. For example, the GAC meets on the Wednesday, so anything that happens on the Wednesday, the GAC won't be coming out of their sessions, or you may get a single observer.
So you hear that, Carla? You don't want...
like the plague. Your best days are the Monday or the Thursday, and if it's the Thursday, it has to be the Thursday morning, depending on what the board plans are. But you don't just need to deal with the board GNSO session. The GAC is an essential part of this equation, and talking to their secretariat would answer those questions. But historically, when we've looked at joint ACSO activities in the past, Wednesday is a very poor choice of day for the GAC. Tuesday tends to have issues for a whole lot of others, and that really leaves the Monday or the Thursday. And good
Thank
luck
you, Cheryl.
At this stage. Good luck with it at this stage. It may have to fall back to something on the Sunday. Luckily, the key, if that's the case, then it is not a public meeting, but rather a meeting of the ICANN component parts, which have vested interest as stakeholders. It wouldn't be a public forum as such, other than you'd have remote participation. So that would be a possible fallback position.
I'm sorry, this is Carla. Why, if it is on Sunday, would not be a public?
Because the ICANN meeting hasn't actually started on the Sunday. GNSO meets, ALAC meets. Some GAC, but not all GAC are there, and the board is there. But, in fact, most GAC are there. But it wouldn't fit in the Monday to... Thursday or Monday to Friday public meetings of ICANN Singapore 42.
Yeah, thank you. I just note that the ICANN meetings are officially starting on Sunday.
Well, if they are, well, then that's fine.
Okay, but I hope you, Carla, you have enough of what Cheryl has said for guidance. We're going to take Rafiq and then Alan, and we have to close, folks. It's top of the hour, 3 minutes past. We started at 5 past. I want to keep it to that thing. Rafiq.
Thank you, Carlton. Just now we are talking about scheduling. In the Wednesday, I think, I'm not sure, but in the Wednesday evening, I have me and also Alan, we have the GNSO Council public meeting. So anyway, we need to check on the ICANN meeting schedule to avoid any problems. Thank you.
Yes, I think Carol pretty much got it. I mean, I would trust her with this. She knows it backwards, forwards. I think she pretty much covers the holes that we have to plug and the ones that we have real opportunity. Alan, you're the last one, sir.
Yeah, just a quick thing. Let's make sure we distinguish between a meeting that is open to the public and one that is scheduled as a formal public meeting. They're in my mind, anyway, slightly different. Thank you.
They would be to my mind too. Yes. Anyway, folks, we have to put up there. But for out of this discussion, we are proposing that the chair of ALAC makes a communication to A, establish the public meeting request, and B, to consider a pre-Singapore meeting proposal to the chartering organization, and where we can invite board and other interested parties. On that note, folks, we are at the top of the hour. We've exhausted the hour. I thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next week. Thank you all.